once long.
Neil Diamond and the singer sings his song. Anyway, life continues. Holly has gone to actually prepare for Katy Perry impersonations. Quite rightly so as well. Which means, Emma, you've got a chance to have a brief chat with Annette about life, the universe, or indeed that fantastic episode with the saint, which have we identified the one?
No,
that
I can't remember. Well, the thing is, because I didn't watch all of it.
Oh, dear. Could you describe the character that Annette was playing?
I think you were the daughter of somebody.
The daughter of... the daughter of an inventor, perhaps.
Yeah. No, it wasn't the inventor. Probably, it may have been the very first one. Was it black and white or colour?
Black and white.
Oh, it was the very first one I did.
Yeah.
I can't remember much of it, but it was quite a tricky episode for me, actually. But
Did you play a different character each time you appeared on the show?
Oh, yes.
It's the days pre-videos, let alone pre-DVDs. You wouldn't have had sort of specialist people saying, were you not the first who actually sort of appeared on so-and-so, so-and-so?
Yeah.
It's astounding on that sort of basis. We need to track down that title quite clearly.
I can't remember the title. I can't remember. The only one I can remember is House on Dragon's Rock.
This, of course, is why IMDb is so wonderful. and I think, was it the Saint Steps In, perchance?
Yes, I think so.
In which Annette portrayed the character of Madeline Gray.
Oh, that was my first one.
Oh,
that's the high technology fact. So the saint is approached by yet another damsel in distress.
Yet another damsel in distress.
Don't you feel special? Did you never get to play a hero?
Well,
surely you had heroic moments. You looked very brave in that poltergeist scene.
Mm. Well, that was Randall and Hopkirk.
Yeah.
Yes, I had to be quite brave because I had various sort of means of semi-torture, like being tied up sometimes and knives at the throat.
See, this is what happens when the producer or the director have a particular fetish. They just want to let the think, come on, sort it out.
Well, they always had to do something with the woman, you know, the damsel.
Yeah.
And suddenly started being able to speak out a bit. Yeah,
you had to be glamorous and brave as well.
Mm. Yes, you did. And sort of in the saint, I was mostly being rescued by the saint, or I had others too. I had one where I played a French girl, which I really enjoyed.
You tried to kill the saint, if I recall, in terms of.
I think that was that one. I can't remember.
It's because she was just another woman.
Just another woman. Oh, I know.
So you had to get even.
We were fighting against.
In the 1967 scenario, to kill a saint in Paris, somebody tricks shady nightclub owner Paul Ferrier into believing that the saint is trying to kill him. So he hires people to rub out the saint. One of these is a young girl who believes he killed her father.
That's right.
And your young girl was entitled Annette.
That's right.
Amazing.
Oh, I know. The name was Annette. Isn't that funny? But I enjoyed that episode. It was quite funny.
Exactly. But once again, we have to say that much like many of the midweek drives, they weren't really filmed in Paris. It was back production.
I know. Isn't that terrible?
When you read the script for it, did you think you were going to Paris?
No, we knew exactly.
You had no hope
studios.
At all.
No.
I was going to say, you'd be a bit disappointed if you thought you were going to be eating croissants and listening to
I did the Persuaders.
Parisian music.
The Persuaders we were in France. South of France.
Tony Curtis and Roger Moore.
That was eating croissants. And drinking hot coffee on the beach.
Lovely.
You're listening to Annette Andre and Holly Parker and Emma Tinson on the Midweek Drive. Coming up very shortly, it'll be the Siren News. But to take us around to that, the Love in Spoonful. Do you believe in magic?
Do you believe in magic?
This is Siren FM.
Splendid stuff. Well done, Kelly. And, of course, the team doing fantastic stuff there. We now move effortlessly to a young man who I actually have to say, when I heard this piece of music earlier in the day, I thought, Cameron Tilbury tried, but this is phenomenal. We're talking, of course, to the legendary Irish singer-songwriter, of course, Owen Glacken. Owen, you're about to go on stage at the University of London in the very near future. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I don't think I've ever been called legendary before. I appreciate that.
Well, if you've been influenced by...
Can you be legendary until you're either in your 40s or dead? I don't know.
Okay, listening to some of the things we've actually got here, self-taught on the piano, later the guitar, you began songwriting and busking at the age of 15, dipping in and out of various school bands. It was one of your heroes, the peripatetic Kris Kristofferson, who gave you the inspiration you needed to seriously pursue your music career. Believing you couldn't be a songwriter and stay home, Owen left Ireland at 21 and moved to London with a box of demos under his arm and a determination to play every pub and venue he could. Already, you've been producing Not Lost, which is your first album, produced by Ian Grimble. Of course, Ian Grimble, who's worked with a few folk you might have heard of, Manic Street Preachers, The Clash, Beth Orton and so on. I think we've got a little star on our hands.
Sounds fantastic.
So what are you going to do on stage this evening? I know we won't be able to get there from Lincoln, and we're talking about, obviously, a gig you're going in Teesside on October 23rd, but you are on tour.
That's right, yeah.
How's it all shaping up?
It's been great. This is my third day. I'm losing track already. It's my third day. We started on Monday morning, and now, it's obviously Wednesday evening, so it's just been playing. We played three yesterday, three on Monday. We're doing one tonight now in London, and that's great fun. It's just, it all just rolling into one big kind of party. It's great.
Well, you see, this is it. And of course, as you head through it already, you've been at the University of Bournemouth, the Universities of Southampton, Winchester, Bedfordshire, Queen Mary University, University of Essex, amazing, University of London today, Student Central, Loughborough University tomorrow, De Montfort on the 16th. In fact, you've actually got two on the 16th. You've got a 1:30 gig in Leicester on the 16th, and then later on you're in Derby at the University of Derby. You know, there's one huge omission from this, Owen, and I don't see the University of Lincoln on there. This is the second week this has happened,
tragic.
Actually. You know, we see the universities of Teesside, Liverpool, Nottingham, Trent, Sheffield, Bradford, Leeds, Northumbria, Stirling, Strathclyde, St Andrews.
I think it's because we're literally so far away from everything. There is nothing near Lincoln.
Annette Andre, this is your first time in Lincoln, as you said. Do you think we're so far away from everything?
No, not really. And as I don't know Lincoln, I can't tell
this
you
is
whether
true.
This is exactly. buzzing. Yeah. You know?
And normally, Owen, Annette sends in her contributions to the show from California, so it makes no difference.
Right, okay.
it's just what it is. Holly, questions for Owen from yourself before we actually have a listen to Rain Finally Came.
Oh, I'm really excited to listen. Basically, what I want to know is if your accent comes out in your singing. But I can only answer that listening.
We love the Irish accent, you know. Sure enough, we do. We do love the Irish accent. It's always there. Sorry,
you didn't need to impersonate it. Moment ruined.
I hear we were. I can't remember how long. I think it was a couple of years ago. I think the Irish accent got officially called the sexiest over the French. So we were proud to take that title. I have to say. Yeah, I don't know who voted for it, but anyway, that's what I heard.
And clearly, we're talking a Dublin accent here. Is that correct?
And exactly. Specifically a Dublin accent, correct?
Specifically a Dublin accent. So that's excellent. Owen, I suppose when are you actually on stage?
I'm on stage in about 5 or 10 minutes, I think. Yeah.
Five or ten.
Oh my gosh!
We can.
They're easy going here. They won't. They won't fall out with me from the camera.
This is what you call conscious professionalism. Second. So could we actually ask you to stay with us whilst we listen to this fabulous tune, "Rain Finally Came"? So that's 3 minutes 20 seconds.
With pleasure. Yeah.
Stay online, and then you get instant feedback, which I know it's going to be good. As the legendary Tony McDonough from Manila Pernut PR would actually say, it's going to make interesting radio giving he's on stage in a few moments' time. Quite rightly so, too. Excellent stuff. What did we make of Owen Glacken and Rain Finally Came? Let's go to you first, Emma.
I really like it. It wasn't quite what I was expecting, but I really like it. I think it's great that you've got so much instrumental in there as well, because a lot of artists nowadays just rely on the lyrics and then a dodgy tune in the background. I really like that. It was very nice.
So no dodgy tune there, Owen. Good news there. Holly Parker.
Yeah, I really like it. I think it sounds like a cross between Coldplay, Frank Turner and the Pigeon Detectives with your own little twist,
what
of course.
What a combo that is, isn't it?
Coldplay.
A good combo, it works.
Pigeon Detectives. And we're not speaking strange names here, Annette. It's just the Vogue vernacular.
I appreciate that. Well, I can't argue with any of that. Thank you very much.
And Annette?
Well, very best of luck for tonight, and I think you're going to get a great reception.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
And if you don't, let us know and we'll sort them out, okay? Owen, it's fantastic connecting with your good self, of course. A reminder, if you're looking to search for Owen, it's the Irish spelling, of course, which is E-O-I-N. Is that correct? Ooh.
That's it, yeah. It's like
good.
Michael Owen, except spelled totally different.
Exactly. Yes. And what perfect Irish route of actually saying that. Like Michael Owen, spelled completely differently. There we are. Owen Glacken.
Yeah.
Many thanks to DeepSea. Websites and all Facebook are actually there. We'll be happening those, I'm sure. Haldy, you'll be liking Owen on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and all the rest of it, as indeed will.
I'm even contemplating looking when you're in Leeds, actually.
Yeah. So, actually, we'll just have a quick look at this one. It's actually there. Leeds. University of Leeds, 22nd of October. The Turris Bar.
Yeah.
Of October, literally just the day before 23rd of October, when Teesside University in Middlesbrough. Have you had a reasonably interesting?
I'm going to write that down.
There we are. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephone call with us, Owen? Have you enjoyed your debut on the show so far?
I've had a great debut, yeah.
Round of applause for Owen. It's his first time, so always marvellous stuff there.
Good luck
and
with your show.
We hope connect with you again in the very near future.
Please God, yeah, that'd be great.
Yay!
Look forward to it.
Meanwhile, back in the karaoke division of Holly Parker Land. Do you ever feel like a plastic bag? Even brighter than the moon, Even brighter than the moon. Could almost be describing one of Tara Bennett's articles, or indeed books. Isn't that right, Emma?
Yeah.
The franchise rights alone will make us rich, so said Peter Venkman back in the 80s, before you were born, of course.
Yes.
And before you were born as well, Holly, I believe.
Yes, a fair bit.
At least just Annette, Andre and myself were actually alive in that stage. But he wasn't wrong, according to Tara Bennett, who has investigated the plethora of merchandise available for the 30th anniversary. Just look at some of the merchandise that's available there to celebrate Ghostbusters, We Ain't Afraid of No Goats, and all those. Oh my gosh, indeed.
I really want, they've got here a picture of the Marshmallow Man. I really want that cuddly toy.
You see, Tara, that's
Is that actually his real name? Or am I just
making
that
puffed, The Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man, to be precise.
It's the way he looks cute because he's angry.
Yeah.
Things that are really tiny, with big heads, that try and look angry.
It's like when a toddler throws a strop and you're sort of like, you can't take them seriously because it's quite cute.
Right then, Tara, it's over to you to actually sort of put some flesh on the bones of this. I mean, I could talk about your work with Sons of Anarchy. I could talk about your New York Comic Con experience. I can talk about, obviously, Lost. I can talk about the fantastic release of, obviously, the book version of Showrunners, etc. In fact, we identified with Annette Andre that technically Arthur Weingarten would have been classified as a showrunner on, of course, the series Murder, She Wrote.
I guess.
Yes, and the same with clearly May Gray.
Yeah. Hmm. See, I'm not familiar with the
name
showrunner.
I know,
because we have executive producers, we have line producers, all that sort of thing that I know about.
It's a whole new world. But let's get back to the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man, because let's face it, we might as well keep it real. And Tara, what an ace production. I mean, not only that, but also the guide to New York's most haunted and phenomenal. And hence the reason that there's a connection between obviously having the legendary Annette Andre from Randall Hopkirk Deceased, amongst other shows, of course, many of which we've covered already on the production, in the studio with us. In fact, Annette, that's probably what Ghostbusters 3 actually needs. It needs more Annette Andre.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you are. You see, now you've got it.
Tara, it is your time of the show, so it's up to you to celebrate various other bits and pieces. I'll turn it over to Emma. Any questions for Tara Bennett?
Yeah, Tara, actually, I mean, obviously the Ghostbusters 30-year anniversary location tour seems very interesting. And I was wondering if, like, well, what's your favourite location on the tour? Because there's quite a few, aren't there?
Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, I've been a huge fan. I remember seeing... I'm gonna age myself with you lovely people in the studio, but I remember seeing the movie when it first came out in theatres. And
you and me both, Tara.
You and me both. We're both in the older pack. But yeah, it was a huge movie for me, and I still love it. I just went and saw it when it was re-released a couple weeks ago for the anniversary of the big screen, and it was so much fun to see again. But yeah, New York has really, you know, they shot both of the films, the sequel and the first film there, so it's all full of really wonderful locations. I think, you know, Spook Central, seeing where Dana's apartment was, you know, even though they changed it a little bit with matte paintings at the top, it's always really fun to be in Central Park and look up at that building and immediately associate it with that film. And then, of course, you know, the Ghostbusters headquarters, which is the fire engine station where, you know, they built their business, and that's always really fun to see, too. But, yeah, if you're a hardcore fan, it was just a lot of fun to be able to put together all of those locations and allow you to do a little walking tour if you happen to go to the Big Apple anytime soon, so you can experience all of those places yourself.
You see, curiously, this is another connection that the universe has manifested between yourself and Annette André, because rather like Annette and Arthur Weingarten have moved from upstate New York, specifically Woodstock. I love the way when earlier you say to Liz Brewer, we were living on a mountain in New York City. I think she was very confused.
I know, she was.
She was, yes. Yeah. She thought to herself, a mountain in New York City. Exactly, surely. No. But you actually took that transcontinental journey from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Yes, just a few months ago.
And that's pretty much, Tara, what you've done as well.
I have, exactly. I've moved out west. So, yes, I'm a transplant recent, even though I just was back to New York for New York Comic Con, as you mentioned.
Yes.
So I feel like I'm kind of I'm still back and forth. But that's a good thing. Keeps me worldly, hopefully.
Because one thing that we haven't identified, Annette, is, of course, we define you as a citizen of the planet Earth. Just talk us through your original nation from Australia right the way through to your current triple passport holding status.
Born in Australia, and I grew up to a certain extent. Then I moved to England, where I lived most of my life, here in England, in London. Then sort of various changes of address into Spain and France a bit, and then into LA and London, and then to New York, where we lived for quite a while, and now back into California, but further down. We're going down to near San Diego.
There
we are.
And can you remember the series Randall and Hopcook Deceased, Tara? Or is that something where you just think, no, I haven't accessed that as yet, and we put you on the same sort of spot that Richard Edwards was on when clearly he kind of forgotten all about the series, but never mind, he did try. He made a brave effort to sort of, you know, rescue his things.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to take the Rich Edwards, no.
It's okay.
No, I don't have a...
Because in the States it was sold as My Partner, the Ghost.
Yes, yeah. And, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You see,
I don't think it has the same ring to it, My Partner the Ghost.
No, it doesn't.
Randall and Hopcock Deceased. You're just intrigued by the deceased in brackets.
This is it, you see. Yeah. And they did the same with, of course, Danger Man, which, of course, this side of the Atlantic was Danger Man. Over in the States, it was Secret Agent.
Yes, I know. I know. The English actually are a little more subtle. There's a little more, inventiveness.
Do you think that, Tara? Do you think we're more subtle? Is that what it's all about?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we definitely need things in our face a whole lot more, which is unfortunate. But for those of us that are huge Anglophiles that appreciate and usually watch the originals from your fine country, I kind of scoff at those that need more in their face. So there you go. I align myself with you guys, and subtle is smarter.
So what do you make of the difference between Sherlock and Elementary?
Oh, good question.
that's a great, I love Sherlock. I do love what, all the versions, all the three seasons of it. I do appreciate that they really have taken a different kind of approach with Elementary, with the male-female, the lack of romance, which is kind of nice, so that it's not some kind of will she or won't she kind of romantic spin on Sherlock. It's I like that it's grounded in these two people that are kind of dysfunctional that are good partners in the crime solving. So I think it's their own way of doing it, and I appreciate that. It's just maybe not as
good
as visually or narratively arresting as Sherlock is.
Do you not think it's turned into one of these, cop shows?
Well, it's got Lucy Liu.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's also airing on our national network called CBS, and that network is all about cop shows and older people watching television. So Elementary definitely hits all the buttons with that. So I think it would be worse if they tried to actually copy Sherlock and then did a terrible job with it. So I kind of like that they're trying to do their own thing, because if they tried to do Sherlock over again on that network, it would be a miserable failure. So
yeah,
I like that they stand apart, even though they're both contemporaries. I think that's a smarter way to go.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, if they tried to copy it directly, then you'd have people complaining, saying, oh, they've tried to do it, but not as well. Mm. So at least they've tried to change it up.
And as I'll be saying with respect to Phil Lynas later on in the production, he does have Lucy Liu in it. Anyway, moving on. Annette, of course, this is a line we often talk with Arthur Weingarten. Hello, Arthur, by the way. He'll hopefully be on the show with us next week or so. So we liaise that, because, well, that's great stuff. Yeah, we communicate. But Arthur, of course, you no longer watch the cop shows, because you produced so many of them in many ways and wrote for them and the whole thing.
Do you
think it's sort of same old, just sort of new technologies that have come in?
Is this my opinion?
Yeah, I think so.
We're comparing the ones now to the ones before.
Exactly.
Oh, no, I don't think it's... Well, no, I think it's the same old, quite honestly. Okay. Not that I watch a lot of them, because they are same old. Yes.
Oh, we need a bit more innovation,
and a little too aggressive for me. A
bit too aggressive. Never mind. I'm very impressed, Tara. In fact, I've already liked the fact, Paul Derry, that you've already said on your Facebook page, I'm a guest on Siren FM at 6:05 PM GMT, 10:05 PM PST. Yes, in California time, Annette, it's now coming up to 10:15 in the morning. SFX Magazine, Ghostbusters, Bookazine will be talked about, and hashtag NYCC, which is what we haven't talked about as yet, mainly because I was sort of so impressed with the colour photograph, which I'm actually pulling up for the benefit of the team now, which I think actually shows your good self, Tara, about to be eaten by a sort of strange sort of beastie. It looks as though it's sort of an alien monster from that perspective. But there, indeed, that you seem to be posing with a man or object dressed as a giant pin from a bowling alley.
Yes, I was completely enamored. That wasn't actually from New York Comic Con. That was from something out here in California. And
It looked so California.
That was a very popular bowling. Yes, it was a very popular.
If I was to say, is that California, Annette? I mean, you'd probably say that in a nutshell.
Yes, that is
just so Californian.
Dancing bowling pin out at night, is California. It doesn't get any better than that, honestly.
You can get help, of course, but never mind. That's the important thing. So talk to us about the New York Comic Con, because I know we're talking about Emma and Holly joining us for their first adventures into the Birmingham Comic Con, where we might do a little behind-the-scenes report with Annette on the 22nd of November.
That's wonderful.
So what were your experiences?
New York Comic Con was huge. It actually hit the numbers of San Diego Comic Con, which is pretty much the largest convention that happens in the United States. It hit 150,000 people this past weekend in New York, and that was a tremendous amount of people. And that was it was a lot of people to navigate through. But yeah, for SFX, I was there covering. Sci-Fi has a new show called 12 Monkeys, which
is curiously based on the movie with Bruce Willis, 12 Monkeys, and it's all about time travel and other things.
Yeah, and they actually changed the Brad Pitt character to a woman in the TV show, which is interesting. And then I also got really wonderful coverage for a new comic book-inspired TV show that's going to actually be exclusive to PS4 and PS3s called Powers, which is my... which is a really great comic book series that's been around for about 10 years. It's going to star Charlton Copley, if you know him from film, and also it has Eddie Izzard, and just a really interesting cast that is basically about a world where superheroes coexist with us.
Which, of course, we know is actually is not fiction. It's actually real, because, you know, there are at least two people in the studio this evening at Siren who are superheroes in disguise. Superheroes, technically.
So that was really great to get to cover all of that, and they had lots of movie premieres and lots of really interesting stuff.
Fitting that in and your academic work, it's amazing. Again, a little plug here, by the Official Companion on September 2nd, 2014, Showrunners, the book, is actually out there. That was, of course, taken at San Diego Comic Con International. But I just want to sort of flag that thing up there from that point of view, because the ideal notion of showrunner's perspective.
I shove it all in.
What is a showrunner? I'm sorry, is this an American thing?
Well, no.
Yeah,
yes and no.
It's a term that's kind of evolved. Yeah, yes and no. I mean, it's certainly being more applied more to, you know, Moffat and those, you know, on your
Stephen
side of the
Moffat,
that are,
Doctor Who producer,
you know,
showrunner.
Yeah, exactly. Doctor Who. Yeah, that are, you know, more synonymous with being, you know, the real creative guide of a TV show. But it's a show, it's showrunners more with a more...
That, and that is what you call just being cut off in your prime. Are you still there, Tara, or have we lost you completely?
I'm here.
Whoa.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm here.
For
I'm
one
here.
Teeny moment there, we thought, oh, we're going to have to cut to Annette Andre's live audio missive a bit earlier, but never mind. We're all good. So does that?
No, I'm here. Yeah, no, showrunner is just a term that has become more of an industry, an external. Industry word, but it's still being learned. So it's, you know, that's part of what the book and the documentary are about.
Yeah. I was going to say, so it's more of a producer or creative director than what I would call a runner, the guy who gets the tea and coffee.
You see, this is precisely.
Not a runner.
Yeah, it's both. If you're a showrunner of a show, you take care of creatively guiding it.
You might even get the tea and coffee. You might even, if you're a showrunner, actually provide the still.
Some bourbons. Although there are other biscuits available.
Yes.
Steady,
yes.
Don't build the pot.
You definitely make sure the biscuits are there. Yeah, you order those.
Now, Tara, I'm feeling sort of, you know, off base, because all I could provide for Annette was actually still mineral water. And again, it had to be warm up to room temperature. But, you know, it's okay. You know? We'll work on that, clearly. You know, I could see challenges when I speak to Arthur.
No champagne, for sure.
Yes. Okay. I think we've covered a whole range of things, as we knew we would. So, Emma, would you like to bone those last two questions to Tara Bennett? And remind, of course, that showrunner is the official companion to the movie, which is directed perfectly well by Des Doyle. Another Irish lad, of course, from Dublin, is, of course, available. Yes, over to you.
Of course. Tara, I would like to ask you if you've enjoyed your time on the show today.
Oh, as always, yes.
Fantastic. And will you join us again sometime soon?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Coming up, for the first time in the history of broadcasting on Midrate Drive, we'll be having Annette Andre delivering an audio missive live from the very studio she's sitting in live during the show. Hooray!